It's a Like Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. The organization known as Newwaukee entered the scene 4 years ago, and over that time has connected thousands of Milwaukee's young professionals. And they're one of a growing number of groups that's shaking up the conventional means by which people network here. An article in the December issue of Milwaukee Magazine, though, tries to delve into the sometimes complex ultimate goal of Newwaukee and the other young professional organizations, and it also looks at how they coordinate and how they compete. The article was written by Associate Editor Matt Rohde, who is with us in the studio to share the insights he gathered. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Let's start with a big question that this article takes a crack at. What is the ultimate aim of Newwaukee?
It started out mostly as a social organization, a young professional group that would get together. The first event was Ian Abson invited a number of friends, and a friend of his sort of roped together some acquaintances, and they met at a bar. So it started out as a social organization in 2009 that was holding different events, and they've kind of slowly gotten more ambitious over the years and pulled in more of what seems like professional development. And they're a hard thing to define. They'll describe themselves as a group that activates talent and space to promote the city. And in some respects, they're sort of a civic organization. They see themselves as promoting the new guard of the city, the young creative blood, and almost sort of like a transfusion of San Francisco-style ethos. But they've kind of grown
they've built momentum simply by building momentum in some ways.
Right. They said we always want people to be, when we do stuff, we always want people to be talking about it. And probably their greatest strength lies in social media. They have some of the longest subscriber lists in the city and in the country, actually, for groups of their kind. And they've gotten more ambitious, and the city leaders have started looking to them, you know, to carry more weight for civic leadership. And they've been pretty close with Tom Barrett in the past couple of years. And now they're starting to get into art. What is Milwaukee's art identity?
Well, and you know, they don't have their membership model isn't perhaps, you know, the typical, you know, fill out a form and, you know, get a membership card at the end of the day. What do they think in terms of how many people are actually part of this group?
They claim a grand total of 40,000 followers/subscribers, and that's people on email lists, Twitter followers, Facebook likes, and they don't maintain a paid membership. There are other groups in town like Feel Milwaukee that are more corporate networking groups. And so your company would pay a fee for you to be a member. Then you could attend, you know, events at 6 p.m. to have a couple drinks and throw around some business cards and do some other networking type things. And but Milwaukee has always been kind of more amorphous and blobby. It kind of allows them some flexibility, but they also sort of have to keep the buzz temperature high enough that they can kind of keep the static cling going.
Well, and you said the city leaders are really starting to pay attention to this group, as you might imagine, if, you know, any group with 40,000 young professionals would start to generate some static cling.
Right. I mean, people have seen Milwaukee as being sort of hollowed out from the inside, manufacturing left, and we did a feature a couple of years ago about the new economy and what's going to be the new economy, Wisconsin Technology Council trying to throw money around and fill some of the gaps in angel investing and all this venture capital kind of stuff. And a lot of arts organizations are dedicating some pretty serious resources and putting key people like an artistic director on Art Milwaukee, you know, for no pay. And these are people that probably were brought from outside of the city, talented people to lead an organization like the Milwaukee Rep, who are spending, one guy told me, 10 hours a month, you know, for doing work for free for Art Milwaukee. And it's because they have, you know, lists that can stir up 200 or 300 people at a bar at some kind of event for a nonprofit overnight. Well, I guess this has been attractive, and they've kind of been seduced to a degree by this.
Well, at the end of the day, do you get the sense for what, you know, what an organization like the Milwaukee Rep or really anybody is hoping comes out of this? What the product is, or what the end result is from being involved with a group like Milwaukee?
They want some more of those young people to show up at their their performances, which they told me is beginning to happen. Milwaukee is sort of endlessly looking for new people to partner with, and sometimes that's the ballet for Romeo and Juliet or another performance. I think, yeah, it's really just sort of like they have the keys to a gold mine of people who are young, who don't have a lot of things tying them down, who have our professional jobs, and so that means some disposable income as well.
What is it? What's in it for those people? You know, the people who are actually members who go to these events. You know, why do they turn to groups like Milwaukee versus any other way of connecting with each other? You know, you write that in the past, you know, churches might have filled this role.
Right. Right. Yeah. Angela Damiani, who's the executive director of Milwaukee, started out as executive director of Art Milwaukee, and it's sort of a complicated story. And now, early in 2014, they're going to be trying to unveil new branding as everything falling under Milwaukee, and it's really one organization. As she described, as people are looking for some kind of in-person connection as organized religion falls away and church attendance goes down. Are people looking to their jobs and employment as a way of building lateral ties, I guess, with your peers? And when I was at events, people were we had a number of people there who seemed like they showed up for most of the events. And they said they liked the crowd, and it was kind of a fun atmosphere. They tend to hire a local musician who will sing some songs, a few originals, a few covers, and then the bar will be happily filling drinks. And then a certain subset of people weren't sure exactly why they were there or what they were there for. A certain number had heard about the event through work. A lot of these people were 25, didn't know a lot of people in town, were a little confused. And sometimes it looked like they were meeting people there, and sometimes it looked like they were continuing to flounder. But I guess that's the way it goes.
Well, and you're right. You know, the Milwaukee sounds like it's representative of a national phenomenon of organizations like this.
Right, right. It's somewhat peculiar to explain. 7-8 years ago, you first started to hear things about young professional NYP groups. And it's really, do you remember 20, 30 years ago?
No,
not
at all.
Such a phenomenon. Yeah, and people.
I mean, it's the kind of thing that maybe, if not churches, you know, this is what groups like the Rotary Club or the Kiwanis Club, I mean, the fraternal organizations might have filled.
Right, right. And I went to a downtown Rotary Club meeting, and when I was doing the reporting, things were a little more regimented. You meet at lunchtime on Tuesdays. It's a very constrained time period. So if you have kids, you have a job that. You have to show up at 8 a.m. the next day and be back and, ready to go that afternoon, then it sort of catered to those needs.
Well, and so maybe if Rotary and that kind of organization are at one end of the spectrum and a group like Milwaukee is at if not the opposite end, certainly a different part of the spectrum, where does a group like Fuel Milwaukee fit in? Is that somewhere in the middle?
Their members are somewhat older. They do fit in the middle. And the events tend to be a little more conservative. People aren't cutting loose as much as how they described it to me. And you have more mixing of generations. Part of the danger in what seemed to be playing out in the events that I went to, the Milwaukee, you have – because it's loud to a degree and it's social to a degree, which is really what they emphasize, becoming friends first and then maybe we'll do business later. You have large segments of the population who just like really aren't interested in going to a bar and shouting for the next 3 hours. that may have stopped being appealing 10, 15 years ago. So that a lot of the wisdom is sort of not getting into the room. You may have more of that at a Fuel event. That's one of the challenges of YP is how do we get people who have actually been civic leaders for, 20 years or have been around the block a few times. How do they get involved?
Well, and you're right. There are also some people who are concerned about the competition that exists between these YP groups. So what's the upshot of the competition? And how would you characterize the competition between a group like Fuel Milwaukee and a group like Milwaukee?
Fuel and Milwaukee have bounced off each other. They sort of coexist now. And some people think that we should have more unity and that what that ends up usually coming down to is more people throwing their weight behind Milwaukee and being vocal, which isn't necessarily going to happen. And I didn't see the most. I mean, I guess, you know, people are quick to point out, oh, we support their events. When Milwaukee did its last YP week, which is one of its big signature programs, Fuel didn't hold any events that week and encouraged their members to go attend the other.
They're not necessarily events. Competing for membership dollars or business in this case.
Right. They're competing to a degree for attention. Fuel was quick to point out to me that they have the largest paid membership base and that they actually have paid members and a list that they can provide you. Not that they sell out their list. But, which Milwaukee also said, we do not sell out our list. Absolutely not. And I guess there's a degree of trust when you give your email and contact info nowadays.
Well, and you know, one of the things that you write about is that the Milwaukee isn't even necessarily sure where it's going. There's this issue about whether they're a nonprofit, whether they're a company, what direction the organization is moving. How is that likely to iron itself out in the days ahead?
It was my sense that them portraying themselves as a nonprofit is going to largely fall by the wayside. Last I spoke with Angelus, he said, we're not sure what we're going to do. Art Milwaukee's Facebook page used to describe them as a nonprofit arts advocacy organization. At some point when I was doing the story and started asking questions about this, the word nonprofit came down and it got rewritten. This is also around the time they were doing all this rebranding stuff and how are we going to depict ourselves as Milwaukee. Yeah, there's such a thing in other states, I was told, called an L3C. And I'm not sure if it's an actual legal status, but a sort of a low-profit, civically-minded company that makes money, and it's not a nonprofit, but they have sort of a social mission, which is where Milwaukee is headed. I spoke to members of their creative committee who actually, at least one person who thought they were a 501c3, but they're not. Most of their legal entities don't lend themselves to being set up as a nonprofit.
The YP phenomenon is a fairly new one, and one gets the sense from this article and from, you know, what they told you that the group is maybe kind of inventing things as they go along.
They admit, you know, we're sort of making this up as we go along, and what seems to drive them forward is the sheer number of people they get to turn out. The first Urban Island party they did out on
Lakeshore Park.
Right. The state park just east of the Summerfest grounds drew out way more people than they expected. To a degree, there's sort of a movement looking for a cause sometimes. So they get more, they have more people behind them than they than they may necessarily have ideas.
Well, Matt Rohde, thank you so much for giving us some insight into this.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Matt Rohde's article on Milwaukee is called Fountain of Youth, and it'll be in the December issue of Milwaukee Magazine, which goes out to subscribers next week and hits newsstands December 2nd. Matt Rohde is associate editor at the magazine.